Hello there, I'm your host, McNeil Mulliken, and you are listening to the McNeil and Friends Podcast. Here I invite different people to talk about all topics relating to cinema. Visit the McNeil and Friends Podcast website at www.mcneilandfriendspodcast.com to learn more about the podcast and where you can find episodes. You can support the McNeil and Friends Podcast by following or subscribing on the platform you listen to podcasts and by leaving a rating or a review. You can also support the McNeil and Friends Podcast by telling your friends, and if you don't have any, you can tell your family. Thank you for listening. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Season 4 of the McNeil and Friends Podcast. Today, I'm here with my friend Fletcher Wolf, and we're going to rank our top 5 favorite crime movies. How's it going, dude?
Oh, good. How about you? Excited to be here.
I'm doing pretty well. I'm glad to have you back. We've done a few episodes recently. We did westerns, we did murder mysteries, and dark comedies.
Dark comedies, yeah.
So, you could see some overlap, maybe a little bit, but I'm trying to change it up a bit. Not that we reused movies and recycled them in the previous episodes, but I'm trying to just stick with generic crime movies, not all these crazy subgenres. It's like, is it a crime movie? Is it something else? You know, but that's kind of what I'm doing here. But I'm pretty excited about this. But before we get started, talk a little bit about where you stand with the crime genre as a whole.
Well, it's so wide, right? I mean, it can be a crime horror movie. It could be a crime comedy. And so, I mean, so many movies are based on crime, right?
I mean,
and so I always find that, you know, you can make a great crime movie or you can make a bad one. And
Kind of like horror movies, yes, I feel like. Yeah.
So I really like crime movies in general. Some of them get too formulaic, and I think that's where you end up with a bad one. Versus some of the more creative ones.
Yeah. Crime is a genre that I kind of have a love-hate relationship with because there are types of crime films that I really like, and then there are some that I find extremely boring. So the ones that I really like are crime thrillers, and I'm going to try my best to not include those today because I talk a lot about Seven, Prisoners, The Silence of the Lambs, and to me those are more thriller than they are crime. Like if I think of a crime movie, I'm not thinking of those. When I think of thriller, my mind goes to those types of movies. So I'm going to try to avoid those, but I'm going to go with some of the more generic crime movies. Basically, I'm just trying to stay within reason, pick movies that are where crime is the central genre of the film and avoid crime films that are mainly known as thrillers, I feel like. That's what I'm trying to do. But I've also been pretty vocal about not being a huge fan of mob movies. Like,
yep, okay.
The Godfather and Goodfellas.
Yep.
That's just not my cup of tea, so I apologize to fans out there that are huge fans of those movies because those are like the penultimate crime movies.
Oh, yeah, most crime movie family fans. Movies, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just, I just don't really find that subject matter to be particularly interesting, so you won't really see any of those in my list. Maybe one that's kind of a loose categorization of the mob movies, but yeah, there's plenty of standard crime films to pick from. So what are your honorable mentions, or do you have any?
I do. I have three. I have three movies that I picked that I know that we've talked about before, so I took them out of this list, and they're a little less crime-centric and a little more in a different genre.
Okay.
So, but they're crime. They have enough crime in them, I thought they were worth mentioning. So, The Nice Guys.
Yeah.
One of my favorite movies. I love The Nice Guys, and it definitely has a crime thread. You know, they're private investigators. But I felt like we talked about it enough in previous episodes. And it's more of a comedy.
Yeah.
Kind of a buddy comedy it's not the first movie that comes to mind.
Yeah. I would think, you know, when I go to comedy, that's one that would come to mind for me because I'm a big fan of the dark comedies. I think that's probably the one we talked about it in, or maybe it might've come up in Murder Mystery.
It might've briefly.
I think it was like a little tangent we got onto about The Nice Guys, even though it wasn't in a list, and then comedy, that was when we talked about it. But yeah, that one actually didn't even cross my mind for crime at all. But yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So the other ones are The Big Lebowski, kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah.
and I think I said this, it's for my money, the perfect movie.
Right. You did say that.
there's no part of that movie I don't like.
Yeah.
But again, it's more of a comedy. And then Seven Psychopaths, which I've talked about in the past, which I really like the character driven storyline in that movie. And it does have a crime thread for sure. So
yeah,
those are my three honorable mentions.
Okay, cool. So I've got a few. I have Reservoir Dogs, which was Tarantino's first movie.
Yep.
And that one's kind of a mob, but just not in the same sense as like what you see in The Godfather and Goodfellas, you know. Then we've got The Town with Ben Affleck and Jeremy Renner, and it's directed by Ben Affleck, came out in 2010. It's about, you know, bank heists, basically. Yeah. That one's pretty good.
I think I've seen that maybe.
Maybe a little while ago, though.
Yeah, it might have been in 2010.
When it came out?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've also got Sicario, which is about a drug cartel.
Yep.
Directed by Denis Villeneuve, who directed Dune this year, which was awesome. We both saw that. It was great.
Yes, we did.
He directed Sicario, and it was written by Taylor Sheridan, who's, I think, one of the best writers working today. He did... obviously Sicario and then Wind River and Hell or High Water, which we've talked about before, but also crime movies, but to me more of the Western or mystery, or Western for Hell or High Water and mystery more for Wind River. So I didn't include those, but Taylor Sheridan's doing a lot of really good work with Yellowstone. It seems like some of his other TV shows coming out look really promising. So
it's funny you mentioned Hell or High Water, because when I got here, I thought of something and I switched one of the movies on my list.
Uh-huh.
That was the one that it got replaced with something else. So it almost made the episode, but
we get, throw it in there as an honorable mention, I guess.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go with the two Safdie brothers movies. You know who they are?
Nope.
Well, I'm going to go with Good Time and Uncut Gems as my last honorable mentions here.
Yep.
Those are two of the most stressful movies I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
They're not like a crime thriller in the same sense of something like I said, Seven or Prisoners or something like that. They're heavily focused on the crime, like in action, basically, while it's taking place and everything that happens directly after it. It's almost like, feels almost kind of, in some sense, in real time, the way things play out, especially in Good Time. Those are two of the most stressful movies I've ever seen in my life. It's insane.
When was Good Time made?
2017. It's got Robert Pattinson in it.
Netflix. I've heard really good things about that.
Yeah, it's so stressful. I think that one, I've seen both only once. I'd probably say Good Time is the more stressful movie. Uncut Gems, I think, is probably the better movie, though, of the two.
Okay.
But they're both definitely worth checking out if you like crime movies or just movies that are just going to stress you the crap out. So,
I don't know about that, but okay.
it's those two are so stressful. But top five. What is your number five?
So I'm going to start with a mob movie.
All right.
The Departed.
Interesting. Okay. Yep. Cool.
My favorite mob movie. Wow.
Movie.
Movie. movie. Not a big fan of mob films.
So you're not either. Okay.
No. I mean, you know, The Godfather I've seen, and, you know, I thought it was good, but not.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am.
It doesn't make my top list.
Yeah, the mob movies to me are just, they're not very interesting. And to me, like The Godfather, I thought got off to a great start.
Yeah.
And then about, I think it was about halfway through the movie where Al Pacino basically flees and goes overseas.
Yeah.
And then I just started getting really bored at that moment.
Yeah.
And then the ending picked back up, but that wasn't until like the last 15 minutes. And it's like a 3+ hour movie. And I was just like, you know, if this was trimmed down a bit and maybe have less of this downtime in the middle, not saying I, you know, have a hard time focusing in movies when there's not a lot of action. And The Godfather is not a heavy action movie. It was just...
No, it's not.
I feel like it just dragged out. Like you said, it's good, just not my personal favorite.
But yeah.
The Departed.
The Departed. I thought it was just such a well-done movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's got some emotional parts. It's got some action-ish parts, some violent parts, but it's definitely the most, it's the only mob movie that keeps me in it like the whole time.
Yeah.
And so that's where it made my list.
We might see that one
okay.
on my list. When I talked about some mob movies, we might see it in mine. The Departed. I guess we can talk about it a little bit later when we'll get to it, basically. So my number
foreshadowing.
My number five is Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
Obviously the movie that put Quentin Tarantino on the maps. It stars John Travolta, Samuel L. Jackson, Uma Thurman, Bruce Willis, Ving Rhames, Harvey Keitel, and Tim Roth. I mean, it's got a huge cast for this guy who wasn't super well known at the time, had only done Reservoir Dogs, which was kind of like this underground hit in a way. And then Pulp Fiction came out and it just exploded. And it really kind of changed the game for movies in a way. A lot of movies are very inspired by it. It had a very unconventional story structure where it had all of these interweaving storylines that all connected, but the story was told completely out of order, which was really interesting. And that may not work for some people, but for a lot of people, it clearly did. It took me a while to come around on it, though, because I watched it in high school, I think, and wasn't a huge fan of it, but I hadn't really gotten to a place where my taste in movies had evolved beyond action blockbusters at that point, because I was like 17 or whatever. And then I got older and I checked it back out and I was like, this is actually pretty good. And then ever since then, I've watched more and more of, or I've seen all of Tarantino's movies, and his style's really grown on me. I wouldn't say this is my favorite Tarantino movie like some people do, but I do really like Pulp Fiction and respect it for the impact it made on the movie industry as a whole. The great performances all throughout, has really interesting dialogue, very iconic moments, and the crime is pretty interesting as well, and I like how it all ties together with all of the different storylines. So, yeah, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, I thought it'd be on there.
You've seen it?
Yes, but it's been a long time.
I thought you'd seen it. I just didn't know if how fresh on your mind it was.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of Tarantino at all?
Mild. Like, I like his movies, but sometimes they get too much for me.
Which one's your favorite of his?
The one that just came out. I don't know.
Oh, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Yeah, I couldn't think of the name. Yeah. I knew it was Hollywood something, but I couldn't.
That one's my favorite as well. I love that movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, Pulp Fiction, that's my first entry in my list here, my number five. So what's your number four?
Black Klansman.
Okay, I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah.
But I know it was in the, you know, a lot of, there's a lot of hype behind it during the award season of 2018.
Yep. That's really, really good. John David Washington and Adam Driver do an awesome job. It's a complete movie, in my opinion. Probably my favorite Spike Lee movie, for sure. And it's just a really well done film, in my opinion.
What's it about? Because I'm familiar with the cast. I know Spike Lee directed it, but I'm not entirely familiar with the story.
So it is about a KKK, what would you call it? A group in the, I think it's in Denver, maybe. It's been a couple of years. Yeah.
Okay.
And so it's about a cop that infiltrates it, right? Mm-hmm. And they do it through Adam Driver's character. But he gets a lot of his information from John David Washington.
Okay.
And so that's where the Black Klansman part
when
comes
is it
in.
Set?
Late 60s, 70s, somewhere okay. there.
I gotcha. That's pretty interesting. Yeah, I like, you know, all the names attached to it. I just haven't checked that one out yet.
It's got Topher Grace in it, who plays David Duke, which is just a real weird role for him. But it's a good movie. It's a complete film, in my opinion.
Interesting. I'll have to check that one out because, I mean, it's been on my radar. I just haven't gotten around to it. But I remember towards the end of 2018, beginning of 2019, right around the time where I really started paying attention to all areas of movies and all genres and everything, that was one I saw getting a lot of buzz during the Oscar season. I just hadn't gotten around to it. But definitely want to check that one out. I like the cast and everything. So it sounds pretty interesting. So my number four is The Departed. That was the one I was hinting at with, you know, I said there's a mob movie that I do really like. But this one's not the traditional mob movie.
It's not as family centered.
Right. Because the mob is led by Jack Nicholson's character. Mm-hmm. And you don't really get much of the rest of the mob.
No.
It's all about the mole that's infiltrated the South Boston police force. And so, and all the twists and turns that come with that, which are pretty interesting. And so I remember watching that one, and there are some scenes here at the end that really caught me off guard. Your brother spoiled it for me, though. Yeah. It still caught me off guard, though, because how quick it happens. But
there's some things towards the end of that movie that happen rapidly.
Yeah, like it really, like it's a pretty slow burn for a while.
Yeah,
and then by the end, it's just like
Yeah.
It's quick.
It's full throttle.
Yeah. And I think it's really interesting. I think the performances are really good. There are some really nice comedic elements in the movie
mm-hmm.
that I think blend really well, but they're not like overbearing, you know, especially I think from Jack Nicholson, I feel like, because he has this presence in movies where I feel like he doesn't take himself very seriously. And so he just, even if he's being super intimidating, it kind of comes across as funny.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then there's the scene in the theater.
Oh,
that I think it's really funny. Yeah. I totally forgotten about it when I saw it for the second time. And I was like, oh yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one was directed by Martin Scorsese, who's known for all of the mob movies. You know, he did Goodfellas, Casino, bunch of some other, The Irishman. That one was a chore to sit through. It was like 3.5 hours. And I was just like, my God, this is so boring.
Yeah. I knew it wasn't on your, top list.
No, I was not a fan of that one. That to me was probably the most overrated movie of
last
2019.
Year.
Yeah.
Was it 2019?
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. It was
flying
like
flying by.
It was like two. Like I think it came out in November 2019. So it's like 2 years ago on the dot, just about.
Wow.
I was so bored with that one. But The Departed is one as a Martin Scorsese movie that I would give some super high praise. And because he's so like well known for mob movies, he's kind of a hit or miss for me.
Yeah.
But The Departed is really good. You know, obviously it's more focused on the police force than it is the mob, but the mob definitely plays a role in it. And I think because it's a bit unconventional for a mafia movie.
Yeah. Well, and DiCaprio as the mole in the mob, right? So you get kind of an interesting.
I thought it was. Isn't it Matt Damon that's the mole?
He's the mole in The Police.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
DiCaprio
yeah.
is the mole in the mob.
Yeah, you said spoiler. Mob, but it translated into my mind as police for whatever reason. That's why I was thinking Matt Damon. But yeah, I mean, speaking of those two guys, I mean, this has like a huge cast. We've got Matt Damon, DiCaprio, Jack Nicholson, Vera Farmiga, Mark Wahlberg, Marky Mark, Martin Sheen, and Alec Baldwin.
How about Martin Sheen's... spoiler exit from the film, man, that one just
I forgot about that one.
Shocking.
Yeah, there are some shocking moments throughout the movie.
Yeah,
I love the way it ends though, with the one who's left standing.
Yeah,
it's just not who you would expect, and I was like, this rocks.
And you don't like him throughout the movie.
No, not
he
at
is
all.
not a character you're supposed to associate like positive towards.
Yeah, not at all. But yeah, this was actually one that I believe Tucker, your brother, recommended to me. And then I checked it out a few years back, really liked it. I've seen it twice now. So yeah.
Tucker, it's probably one of Tucker's favorite movies.
Yeah, I think so. He also really likes Gangs of New York, which kind of a crime movie.
Yep.
But another Martin Scorsese one. And that's pretty good too. But
it
yeah.
was a little much for me.
Yeah, I've heard that from some people. I mean, I understand. It can be pretty violent.
I feel like Daniel Day-Lewis's character is just so much.
The Butcher.
Yeah, he's just a lot.
Yeah. He's a...
And Cameron Diaz is not a good fit for that role.
I always felt like she was kind of miscast in that movie.
Like, you go from There's Something About Mary to Gangs of New York, and there's a disconnect somewhere.
There is. And then kind of goes back to more of those Something About Mary movies right after. Yeah, that was weird.
Which, there's nothing wrong with There's Something About Mary.
Right, yeah.
It's hilarious, but it's not Gangs of New York.
Yeah, it was just not the type of movie she was known for at all. But yeah, so what's your number three? This is the one, if it's the same as mine, I feel like we might have some overlap
it's
here.
It's not.
Okay.
I can guarantee you.
It's okay.
My number three is The Old Man and the Gun.
I don't think I've heard of that.
Yeah. All right.
What is that?
It's a Robert Redford. It's Robert Redford's last movie.
Oh, I have heard of that then. Yes.
With Casey Affleck. And Robert Redford, obviously, as an aging bank robber.
Interesting. Yeah, I think I actually came across this one recently.
It's a little bit of a slow burn for sure. But the relationship as from Casey Affleck as this detective to Robert Redford as this criminal is kind of ebbs and flows throughout the film. And it's one of my favorite bank robber movies for sure.
Interesting. So yeah, I just looked it up here. The director for The Old Man and the Gun is David Lowery.
okay.
who is a director, and of everything of his work that I've seen, I'm not a fan of, but it's so different from Crime. He did a movie called A Ghost Story, which was like this very introspective and very explored a lot of somewhat religious themes in okay. there. And a lot of just existential themes. And it was about like this ghost that literally looks like a sheet. Like, here's the poster right there.
Okay. I was just about, okay.
Yeah. It's yeah, got Casey Affleck. That was, I had a hard time with that one.
He must really like Casey Affleck.
Oh, so he was, did you say he was in The Old Man and the Gun?
He is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then he directed a movie this year called The Green Knight, which got very high praise, very critically acclaimed. It's a very good looking movie. But it was so boring, so pretentious.
Who's in that?
Dev Patel, who was in...
Does he play an actual, like, knight?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I've seen the preview for that then. I couldn't remember if it was something else or not, but I have seen the preview for that.
Yeah. So that's the reason I came across The Old Man and the Gun, was because I had seen those two movies this year. And I was like, I wonder what else this guy did besides Peach Dragon. And so I looked up and found The Old Man and the Gun. Plus, I do like Robert Redford.
It's really good. Robert Redford, as normal, does an excellent job. And mm-hmm. and Casey Affleck, who I'm not a big fan of, actually has done a couple of roles that I really liked recently, and that was one of them.
Yeah, he's also got some pretty good crime movies out there as well, yeah. like Gone Baby Gone, which is more in the thriller category, which is why I didn't include it. But
I haven't seen that.
That one's really good.
If you liked Hell or High Water, it's not as fast paced as that, but it's sort of got a similar storyline ish to it.
Okay.
In terms of like, you have the detective and the criminal, and it's a little bit about their relationship, right? Which you mm-hmm. had in Hell or High Water with, you know, the two detectives, Jeff Bridges is one of them, and then Chris Pine and Ben Foster as the criminals, and sort of how they interact with each other.
Yeah.
It's got a similar kind of feel that way.
Yeah, and it also looks like it's based on a true story, what I'm reading right here.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe I don't know if you've seen this movie, but have you seen The Mule?
I have not, but I've heard that I need to.
What I'm reading sounds pretty similar to it.
Yeah.
Because it's about, you know, this aging guy who, you know, is kind of, you know, participating in some type of crime.
Yeah.
Obviously not the same movie, but it seems kind of similar. Obviously, like, I don't know much about The Old Man and the Gun, but...
Yeah. Robert Redford is an aging bank robber, and he's going to go out on a high, and so he's going to keep robbing banks.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's not entirely similar to The Mule, because it's not about bank robbery, but I do want to check it out. Just added it to my watch list because I wasn't super interested in it because I've seen the other two movies from that director and was like, yeah. But now that you're saying it sounds very different from those other two movies I've seen, I'm gonna check it out. Plus, I like Robert Redford. So.
Yeah, it's worth a watch, I think. Yeah. Yeah. A little bit slow paced, but a really good, solid crime movie.
But also not very long either. It says it's only 94 minutes, so that's not bad.
Yeah, it's not very long.
Okay. Cool. So this is my number three. This is the one I thought we might see on your list, but now I feel like, because we only have two left from you, that this may not happen, but we'll see.
I don't think you've seen my next two.
Okay. Well, my number three is L.A. Confidential.
It almost made the list, but okay. I haven't seen it recently enough to talk about it.
Okay. I saw it probably around a year ago at this point, but I really, really liked it. This one's directed by Curtis Hanson, and it stars Guy Pearce, Russell Crowe, Kevin Spacey, James Cromwell, Kim Basinger, and Danny DeVito. So a lot of these crime
Danny
movies.
Danny DeVito.
Yeah. A lot of these movies that I have in here coincidentally have like big ensemble casts.
Yeah.
And this one's back from the late 90s. And it's about corruption within the LA police force in the 1950s after a pretty brutal event. And it's very intricate, lots of details, but it's very interesting. I remember the only thing I was struggling with throughout the movie is there are so many characters, and because of that, there are so many different names, and then like each character has different iterations of their names.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute, who's who again?
Yeah.
Which name belongs to? I just know the actors' names, and then I was so confused for a little bit, but by the end, I caught on to it. So it's not like a hard movie to follow. It's just you have to know which characters or the names of each character,
yep.
basically.
Yep. So I was going to put it on, but I just haven't seen it. And because it's got that level of complexity, I didn't really feel like I could talk about it in any kind of detail.
Yeah.
The one thing I do remember is it's the first movie I remember seeing Simon Baker in, who became The Mentalist.
Okay.
Which is a show I really liked.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
But yeah, like we're saying, this one is like super detailed, kind of pretty complex. And, you know, in the 90s, there were a lot of crime movies that came out, and like Pulp Fiction, for example, which we talked about, had a bunch of different interweaving storylines. And this one, it doesn't tell the stories out of order, but there are multiple stories going on at once because mm-hmm. we're focusing on three different detectives and their perspectives of and the investigations that they have going on. I particularly liked Russell Crowe's character a lot because he was kind of like this Batman character in a way where he operated on his own moral code aside from everybody else. And he had the most depth because of that. And I felt like you get to learn what makes him break and what makes him violate his moral code. So I really liked his character a lot. There's some pretty good action, good twists and turns throughout. And the ending got pretty intense. But in the third act, there's just a lot of stuff that happens where you're like, holy crap. And then I know that there's, you know, Kevin Spacey's in it. But this was obviously way before the controversy. So it's hard to be like, there's so many other talented actors that, you know, have nothing to do with that. It's hard for me to be like, I can't ever watch this movie again. You know, I just kind of separate the art from the artist. I understand if that some people can't do that, but I do really like LA Confidential. This is one of my, favorite movies from 1997, which I think was a pretty good year overall.
Did Titanic come out in 1997?
Yes, it did.
Wow.
Yeah, it did.
Wow. Beating out Titanic, huh? Or is Titanic?
Oh, no. Titanic could be over that, over LA Confidential for me. LA
you
Confidential.
You seem like a Titanic kind of guy.
It would probably shock you how high it is in like my overall favorites list.
I
love that movie. Yeah, it's good.
It's a marathon, too. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
Yeah, but it's not like boring. You know what I mean?
Okay.
All right. I guess that's a conversation for another day. but yeah, 97, that was a good year. We had LA Confidential. A personal favorite of mine, I think, is really underrated as Contact, which is a sci-fi movie.
Yep. Yep.
And then we got Titanic. As Good as It Gets was that year. Lots of really good
stuff.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, LA Confidential, solid crime movie. Debatable for what genre it really belongs in, but I feel like the crime is still...
It's a central theme.
Yeah, but you know, you could argue mystery, you could argue thriller. I understand both, but I got to go with crime for this one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my number three.
All right.
So, what's your number two?
So, speaking of movies that are maybe not the you know kind of multiple genre type of mine is going to be definitely a comedy crime movie, and it is the movie that I'm named after.
Oh, what is this?
Fletch.
I don't even know what that is.
Yep, 1985's Chevy Chase.
Interesting.
And Fletch, where he plays a L.A. news reporter, newspaper writer, reporter, and he is investigating drug activity on the beach. And it takes him into all kinds of different directions. And he plays a bunch of different characters because he goes undercover, like, I don't know, 10 times in the movie. And it's a comedy for sure, but the crime is definitely what everything's tied to is this drug traffic on L.A. beaches. And Chevy Chase gets to play so many different characters as he goes in undercover in so many different ways. And it's just a really fun movie.
Yeah. I haven't seen that. Like, I didn't even know that that existed. I'm familiar with Chevy Chase.
Yep.
Obviously, like
this is prime Chevy Chase.
Yeah. I mean, the 80s was like his decade.
Yeah. This is Chevy. If you want to watch a Chevy Chase movie, this is the one to watch because you get so much different Chevy Chases.
Interesting. I'm familiar with National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, that type of stuff. But I'll have to see this one. I didn't even know.
And it's not real long. I mean, it's kind of a short movie that
this is 98 minutes.
Yep.
There's also a sequel.
There is Fletch 2, which I almost like the sequel better, but I feel like the original is.
This is Fletch Lives is the name of it.
Yeah. And you can see by the poster what kind of movie it's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, it looks kind of like
it's a Chevy Chase movie.
Yeah. I kind of would know what to expect going in with him being in it.
Yeah.
In the 80s. I didn't know you were even like named after a movie or something like that. That's
interesting.
Well,
my mom swears up and down that that's the movie that I'm named after. Yeah.
Interesting. That'd be I wish I was named after a movie or something, but my name just confuses everybody. Everybody thinks this is the last name, and then I go through drive-thrus and they'll have to say, "What's your name?" and they never understand what I'm saying because apparently McNeil is not like doesn't register in anybody's brain.
Do the wonderful listeners know your first name?
Robert. Yeah.
Well, there's the bombshell of the podcast.
I've probably said it like maybe once before, but yeah, McNeil is my middle name.
Yeah.
And Robert is my first name. So
Yeah. So it's a great movie.
Okay.
Anyways, there's a few parts that are, I watched it last week too.
So. Okay, cool.
There's a few parts that are just hysterical. And then it's not a complex crime movie, but you kind of got to stay with it because you're kind of tracking different people and who they are.
Yeah.
And as Fletch goes undercover a bunch of times, you get to interact with all these different characters. There's this one part where he pretends to be an airplane mechanic, but he has no idea what he's doing. Right.
Okay. So sounds about right.
Right. So, it's just hilarious, to watch him pretend to be whatever.
Yeah. Like, obviously, like I said, I've seen the Christmas Vacation and that's very much like a slapstick.
Yeah.
You know, type of comedy. So you said this is a slightly different Chevy Chase movie. Is this one still kind of slapstick or is it kind of go into a different territory for
it's
comedy?
It's still slapstick.
Okay.
You know yeah. Like there's, and it's Chevy Chase being just as sarcastic as possible.
Okay.
Like the whole time. Like, so he, one of his roles is he goes undercover as a homeless person on the LA beach so that he can infiltrate this drug network that's going on.
Yeah.
Right. And, so one of this rich guy comes up to him and wants to hire him to kill him. So this rich guy wants to hire Chevy Chase to kill him, to, you know, basically murder him.
Right. Yeah.
And so they go to this rich guy's like giant mansion and Chevy, who's pretending to be a homeless guy, goes, "Well, yeah, I almost put an offer on this last week." And so it's just sort of like that. It's yeah. But it's got a good little crime story and some great characters.
Cool. I'll have to check that one out. I didn't even know that existed at all. So my number two is Heat. Are you not familiar with Heat?
No.
Wow. Okay.
I feel like there's multiple movies with the name Heat, and it's
probably
not the one that I'm thinking.
Yeah, I guess not then. So this was directed by Michael Mann, came out back in 1995. It stars Robert De Niro, Al Pacino,
okay.
Val Kilmer, and a very young Natalie Portman. Because she plays the stepdaughter of Al Pacino.
Was this before that she was in The Professional?
What year was that one? Let's see. The Professional was... Oh, crap. My fat fingers typed it in wrong. The Professional was the year before.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I gotcha.
Yeah. So this was 95, right after, so she was kind of establishing herself as an actress at that point, eventually went on for Star Wars, other stuff, but she has a pretty minor role in this movie. But Heat is about a thief played by Robert De Niro who leads a top-notch crew of criminals on heists in L.A. while a detective played by Al Pacino relentlessly tries to catch them. So because of this storyline, obviously there is inherently this cat and mouse dynamic that's super captivating between Al Pacino, Robert De Niro. And they're like, these two guys are like both top tier for what they do, even though what they do are polar opposites. But you know, when they kind of, you know, start to cross paths a bit, they have these very fascinating conversations about they clearly have different perspectives on life. So there's one scene where they're in a coffee house and they're, you know, talking about kind of why they do things the way they do, why they operate certain ways, but they agree to disagree. And Al Pacino's like, I'm going to catch you. Robert De Niro's like, no, you won't. Mm-hmm. And so that could be super cheesy, but you've got these two top-notch actors that are known for mob movies doing more of this crime action heist movie. which appeals to me a lot more than
a mob movie.
Yeah. And I was super hooked into this movie from minute one to the end. It was so cool. Plus you have Val Kilmer in it, who had probably, well, Top Gun was a little bit before this, but you know,
that's like prime Val Kilmer period though. I mean,
yeah, like he had just done Batman Forever, which, was, what year was Batman Forever? That was either 94 or 95.
Controversial take here. Batman Forever is the best Batman movie.
Whoa. What? No.
Yeah.
No. I don't mind him as Batman, though. Val Kilmer is actually pretty decent Batman.
I love that Batman movie.
Just Jim Carrey.
I loved it.
I actually rewatched it a couple nights ago.
It doesn't hold up.
No, it's so bad. It's so bad. It's atrocious.
It's been a while since I've seen it.
Yeah, you probably should watch it again, and you might want to take that statement back, because it's like the Adam West movies with a really high budget. The Adam West Batman.
But what about Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face?
That was so bad. Dude, it's so campy. It doesn't even make sense for Tommy Lee Jones.
It's Batman. It's supposed to be campy.
No. Anyway. but Val Kilmer is in Heat, and this is prime Val Kilmer. I looked. Batman Forever is the same year as Heat. So like 95, he's in Heat, a Michael Mann movie, and Batman Forever, which in my eyes is a total disaster.
It's better than the previous ones.
No. The ones before it?
Yeah.
The ones by Tim Burton?
Yeah.
Not at all. This is a massive dip in quality. You need to rewatch all of those and like reform your opinion.
I just remember like Arnie in one of them, and I was like, I can't watch this anymore.
That was the one. I mean, that's like the same tone as Batman Forever.
Who was Batman? Was that the George Clooney
one?
Yeah,
it's so bad.
The Michael Keaton ones, I guess, were okay.
That's the ones that were before Val Kilmer.
Oh, okay. I guess I thought George Clooney was before Val Kilmer.
No. George Clooney was last in that iteration of Batman, and Val Kilmer was right there in the middle.
Which one is the one with Danny DeVito?
The second one with Michael Keaton. That one's my favorite, Batman Returns, of those four.
But not, you don't like them better than the newer ones?
The Dark Knight's my favorite Batman movie. 100%. But I guess is that not the case for you? Apparently it's Batman Forever.
No, I didn't care for the last Batman tranche.
Kind of crime movies, though.
They are, yeah. Yeah. They're definitely, they was just, like, Gotham was just too Gotham-y.
And which one?
The Last Generation, I guess, with
Ben Affleck?
No, the guy before.
Oh, Christian Bale.
Gosh, man.
No, that one was like set in like a modern, it felt like, I mean, they filmed it in Chicago. Like, I don't really feel like
it was so, like, everything was dark all the time.
Yeah. I mean, the ones to me that's like super Gotham-y.
I guess it's Batman is supposed to be, but.
Would be the Tim Burton Batman movies with Michael Keaton. Like, to me, that was just like Gotham.
Clearly, I don't remember those very
well.
Yeah,
you need to like watch every Batman movie again and you then come back and listen to this and you'd be like, whoa.
So my uncle knew Adam West.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I think he did. Pretty sure he did. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
But
Batman tangent. Also, the Ben Affleck one looks terrible, but I haven't seen it.
Oh, Batman versus Superman?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like it, but I also don't. It's kind of, I have a love-hate relationship with that movie because there are cool things about it, and then there's really bad things about it.
And you're excited about the next one.
Robert
which
Pattinson?
Which I did not think was a very good trailer.
Robert Pattinson?
Pattinson.
No, I dude, those trailers to me look great. I'm super
Robert
excited
Pattinson's
for that. Robert
second appearance on the crime podcast. Can you imagine?
Yeah, who's had Good Time and now
Batman.
The Batman, which is not even out yet. But I was super excited about that. But anyway, Heat. Love this movie. It's great. It's my number two, like we were talking about. But I mean, I kind of talked about basically everything I needed to with Heat. Like, again, great performances. It really explores the depths of all of these characters, especially De Niro and Al Pacino's characters. It has really awesome and intense action and heist scenes that go on for quite a while. This is a long movie too. This is 170 minutes, so it's pushing 3 hours.
Yeah.
But it goes by pretty quickly, and it ends on quite a bang.
Yeah.
So
I don't think I've seen it.
If you like crime, I mean, or heist movies at all, and if the cast is interesting, then I would definitely check it out. It's
yeah, for
pretty
sure.
Cool.
For sure.
It's just long, but it doesn't really feel like it. So, yeah, Heat, that's my number two, plus the Batman tangent. So, what's your number one?
My number one is American Animals.
another one I haven't seen. But so, I'm familiar with this one.
This one is probably the most unique movie that I've seen in a long time.
Okay.
Because it is like almost half documentary and half film.
Yeah, like, I heard it was like a docudrama type.
Yeah. And it is, it's awesome. It's a really good movie. And getting to see the actual people that the characters are is, and their point of view, like from them themselves, because it interviews the actual people that the movie's based on, is really fascinating. And their interviews are kind of spaced in the movie so that you get to kind of see their perspective as you get to watch what they're doing as they commit this somewhat idiotic crime.
Yeah.
And I just loved it. I loved the interview parts. I thought the story was entertaining and the movie's paced well, and you get enough backstory on these kind of central characters, and then you get to see what happened to them.
Interesting.
And what happens to them is not good. And then you get to see what, how that affected the rest of their life, you know, because now they're adults now, right?
Yeah.
And they were college kids when they committed this crime. And you get to see, you know, how this crime affected them as people, and you get to see them in the actual people. And I thought that was really a creative way to do this story.
Yeah, it looks like it's got a solid cast. I put it up here in Letterboxd. It's got a pretty brief synopsis here, so I'll read it. It says, Lexington, Kentucky, 2004, four young men attempt to execute one of the most audacious art heists in the history of the United States. But yeah, that's basically the synopsis there. It sounds pretty interesting. I've seen some critics that I'm familiar with rate it pretty highly, and that's, you know, they said it's more of one of the most underappreciated or underrated movies of 2018. I have docudramas as a genre I think is pretty interesting. I haven't seen a ton of them, but of the ones I've seen, I liked.
Yeah.
And so it looks like it's got a good cast, but yeah, I'll check it out at some point.
It's worth a watch. It's a little bit longer. It's a little bit slower pace, but I think it all builds to a really good conclusion. Not good conclusion, but a satisfying conclusion in terms of, like, you find out what these people went through, including the people that were victims of this crime. So
interesting.
It's a good, really, really good movie. Really well done.
Cool. So, my number one, you have any guesses?
You know, I don't. Unless we've talked about it already. But
we haven't talked about it on the other episodes we've done, but I've talked about it on the show a couple times, I think, in the past. It's been a while since I've talked about this one.
No, I have no idea.
Do you want any hints?
Yeah.
Or no. Okay. 2002, DiCaprio. Oh.
2002, DiCaprio. It's an early DiCaprio.
DiCaprio and Tom Hanks.
Oh, I know what it is.
Catch Me If You Can.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Because it almost made mine, and I was like, McNeil's gonna put that in his.
So. Yeah. directed by Steven Spielberg, who, that's a pretty solid year for him. It's Catch Me If You Can and Minority Report. But DiCaprio, Tom Hanks, Christopher Walken, Martin Sheen, Amy Adams, plenty of other people that make kind of brief
early Amy Adams.
Yeah,
too.
With like braces or whatever in one scene. I don't think the braces were real, but she was playing a really young character with braces, and it was kind of seeing, you know who Amy Adams is now, and we know what her career looks like. And then I went back and saw this in like 3 years ago, and then I was pretty familiar with Amy Adams, and I was like, whoa, what, the braces, what's happening here, you know? But yeah, I mean, this is a super fascinating movie because it's based on a true story, a pretty well-known true story about Frank Abagnale Jr., who basically pulled the greatest con of all time, who he became a pilot, a doctor, and an attorney all at the age of like 18, and just kind of like broke the system to become all of these things and make money and, you know, pose as all of these fake people. And I don't even know how he did that. It clearly would be way easier to do that back then in the 60s, I believe, is when this movie takes place. I think that'd be a lot harder to pull off.
Yeah, I don't know if you could do it.
There's
today.
Too many like background things you'd have to go through. I think a lot of things you could kind of do back then to pull off being a pilot, a doctor, and an attorney, like all in the same year before you're even 20 years old. Back in the 60s. But still, like, that's a really fascinating story. And it's not like it's a crime movie, clearly, because it's about a really interesting con story, but it's super entertaining. Like, of the five here on my list, this one is the most entertaining, I'd say, by a lot. Because you've got two A-list actors, DiCaprio and Tom Hanks, doing the cat and mouse thing. Plus, it's directed by Steven Spielberg, who can literally do it all. Like, he can do a sci-fi movie, or, you know, he does historical movie like Schindler's List and all the stuff. So it's kind of like all of these historical aspects of his movies, the entertaining aspects of his movies, throws it all together and makes this very entertaining true story that I think stands out amongst all of his other movies. This one is probably, this is my favorite Steven Spielberg movie for sure.
Yeah. And Tom Hanks at his best, I think.
One of them. I mean, it's not even like his movie, really. You know, it's DiCaprio's movie, and it's a really good Tom Hanks role. I wouldn't say it's his best, but my favorite role of his is in Captain Phillips. But
I haven't seen Captain Phillips.
That's a really good movie. Great performance from him. He's got, everything Tom Hanks does is good, but he did a really good job at playing this.
Except for that Atlas movie, Cloud.
Oh,
Atlas.
Yeah, I didn't. That's like the only movie I've seen of his as well that I didn't like.
Yeah.
I didn't know what was going on in that
movie.
No
idea what I was
so
supposed
weird.
To think.
Yeah. But he does give a really good performance in Catch Me If You Can as the guy who's trying to track down DiCaprio. I thought they had really interesting banter. And then at the end, it was like this redemption story and how Frank Abagnale Jr., you know, ended up basically kind of becoming friends with Tom Hanks' character. Ended up basically putting his skills to use and was able to figure out how to find all of this check fraud, basically, that he was doing to get himself in all of these positions. So, yeah, it's a really fascinating story, very entertaining. I'd highly recommend it for anybody who hasn't seen it. Catch Me If You Can. That is my number one. Yeah.
All right.
Any last-minute honorable mentions?
You know, not really. I think we got a solid lineup of movies here.
Yeah.
Fargo, maybe. Honorable mention.
Fargo. The only one that I thought about including, and then I kind of decided that I don't really think the emphasis was on the crime. You could argue it is, but I feel like comedy was the central theme.
Yeah.
Our central genre of the movie, which was The Wolf of Wall Street. So I thought about that, but then I was like, I would literally have two DiCaprio movies back to back in the list. And plus, I think that one's just a comedy. So more so than it is a crime, even though it is crime. But
You could say Fletch is just a comedy for sure.
Yeah. But I just wanted to have a pretty diverse list. But I thought I'd still throw that one out there if anybody's looking for a insanely raunchy crime comedy. So
it was in your dark comedies list, pretty high up there.
I don't remember which number it was, but it was, I think it actually might've been number two.
Yeah, it was up there. I can't remember.
It's
which
so
one.
Funny. But yeah, that also, you know, crime movie as well. We talked about some of the thrillers in the beginning, but it's a very wide ranging genre.
Sure.
We've got the thrillers, we've got the true stories. You even had a docudrama in there.
Yep.
Some crime, like comedies, crime action. Then there's like different types of crime. You've got heists and all sorts of stuff. So anybody can have like a different top. Anybody have a top five crime movie list, and it'll look radically different from either one of ours.
Yeah.
Probably you'd see a lot of the mob. A lot of mob movies.
The Godfather's going to make 75% of them.
Literally, like, I think most crime movie lists, it would be like The Godfather, Goodfellas, The Godfather Part 2, Casino, Once Upon a Time in America, the end. That's literally what it would all look like. So, yeah, but those just...
We got a pretty good list, I think. Pretty expansive list. You get almost everything crime genre out of one of these movies that we talked about.
Except the primary mob genre that you and I aren't a huge fan of.
Yeah.
So if anybody...
You could throw The Departed in there.
I guess so.
And we've talked about The Godfather.
We did. Yeah. So, yeah. But this was a lot of fun. Where can people find you on social media, Fletcher?
You can find me on Instagram at the.wolfman.
Well, I'll be sure to link all of your information in the description of this episode. But once again, Fletcher, thanks for joining me today on this episode. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was awesome. I enjoyed it.
I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, be sure to follow or subscribe to the McNeil and Friends podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, and leave a rating and review if you want to help support the podcast. You can follow the McNeil and Friends podcast on Instagram at mcneil.and.friends.podcast. Message me on Instagram to let me know your favorite crime movies. You can also follow me on Letterboxd at McNeil Mulliken Letterboxd, where I post the movies I watch and write reviews. Also, you can find the McNeil and Friends podcast on Twitter. You can also find the McNeil and Friends podcast on Patreon. Support this podcast by becoming a patron if you so desire. All of this information can be found on the McNeil and Friends podcast website at www.mcneilandfriendspodcast.com, and you can find a link that will take you to all of these locations in the description of this episode. If you made it to the end of this episode, congratulations, and once again, thank you for listening.